Hey there, this is Bree Bagwell with your Only Vans Breecap. Today, I interview Del Brisby, who is a force of nature when it comes to building a brand. He's a master at creating fun and unique content. Del wears sunglasses all the time, and if you can't tell, I paused to join him in the sunglass wearing for this super fun chat with a man that cannot walk 5 feet at Music Fest, or probably anywhere, without being stopped and recognized. He was hired again as an MC at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado, where we did this episode in front of a large live audience. Thank you so much to Music Fest and John Dixon for this hookup. It's hard to give a description of Dale, so I highly recommend checking out his Instagram at Del Brisby and his YouTube channel if you're one of the few who are not yet a fan. Also, I really did love his How to Be a Cowboy series on Netflix. You get a sense of who Dale is when he says on the podcast that he's the man who invented bull riding with one hand. When preparing for this episode, I was wondering if I would be interviewing the character Del Brisby, the man behind him. Are they the same person? Could I carry on an hour interview with someone who claims to be the best bull rider in the world while wearing a fake giant belt buckle, but also in reality is a really amazing cowboy? Bottom line, and you'll see, Dale is hilarious, but also a genuine person and a good man. And actually, a real cowboy. Don't forget to check out his Rodeo Time podcast on YouTube. They're amazing. Last, I want to apologize to Amy Reitenauer Jacobs and Cindy Howes for not giving you guys a shout out at the intro of this podcast, because they're also the true force behind our partnership with the Bluegrass Situations Good Country Podcast Network. I love y'all. Enjoy.
There's moments that are, you know, kind of corny in a Del Brisby kind of way, you know, and there's some things in there that to really string the story along and let the audience know like what's going on. You know, we tell some stories of like, this is how it happens. But as far as like the action goes, just 100. I mean, you can't fake some of those buck offs.
Right.
And some of those things that happened. And the explosion, I did not plan that. That was an accident.
Oh, no. It was giant. What do you mean you didn't plan that?
Well, I didn't know it was going to do that. If you watch, like, it goes out of the screen. I mean, like, these are Netflix cameras. If they'd have known it would have been that big, they'd have backed up, you know? Like, they'd have got the whole explosion.
Who put the fake bomb in there? Like, my immediate thought was, like, what happened there?
It was like a dozen 911 calls in 60 seconds from the town.
Yeah, that's episode 2. You got to check that out. It is.
Yeah. Dang, it is. Yeah, you're not. You actually watched it. That's
I
awesome.
Did my homework very recently. Yeah. But no. I've been a fan of you for a long time.
Hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
I played the outdoor stage today, and I'm still thawing out, and so is my brain. So if I have some mess-ups today, like, at least I didn't cancel my show, okay? All right. Brett laughed. He liked that joke. My podcast is called Only Vans V, not Only Fans. We're not trying to get naked in here. Maybe, I don't know how Dale's feeling today. Maybe he will be feeling frisky, but thank you so much to Dirt Trail Entertainment for sponsoring our live filmings. We don't ever do this with a live audience. It's a little nerve-wracking, but it's been really fun. And they have an awesome artist named Casey Johns, and I just got to interview her yesterday. The letter's caseyjohns.rocks, and you should check her out. And she's incredible, and I got to have her on the podcast yesterday, so that was fun. And if you don't know about my podcast, I've had amazing people on there, like Willie Braun and Mickey Braun, Reckless Kelly making the motor cars, and Max and Heather were on here. So there's a bunch of episodes. We've had how many episodes now, Kyle? 30. I don't know. We've been doing this for a few years now, and it's been really cool. So last year, if you guys watched The Office, Andy from The Office and The Hangover, Ed Helms, if you know Ed Helms, his Bluegrass Situation, they picked up my podcast. So it's kind of a big deal. They are distributing my podcast now. So now I have to be professional. Me and Kyle were doing a great job. But I was driving somewhere. Paul and I were on vacation last year, and John Dixon called me, and I immediately panicked because I was like, oh no, who did something wrong? And he said, I love your podcast. I want to have live tapings. And I was so thrilled. So we're doing my podcast live every day. And I said, well, do you want to get the guests for me? And he said, absolutely. And he said, who do you want? And I said, I want you to get the biggest, coolest people you can think of. And I want you to get the people that I probably maybe couldn't get myself, or, you know, if I don't have their phone number or whatever. So whenever all the podcast guests came in, Kyle and I were like, hell yeah. No, we didn't. We said, Dale, yeah. So Dale Brisby is here, everybody, in the flesh. And I'm kind of upset I had a show.
World's greatest bull rider in the house. I was the first call John made.
I bet he was. And you were like, Bree who? No, I'm just kidding. We're friends. Yeah. I think, are we friends?
It's my favorite ex-girlfriend.
Paul, sorry. We weren't going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about that, though.
We should talk about it. My favorite thing that I had this idea, and I was like, dang it, I had a show today, and I already put on eyelashes, because it would be my dream to film a podcast without having to put on eyelashes, because I was like, you know, when I can wear my sunglasses is when I'm interviewing Dale Brisby. And so I'm going to do it.
How be do you, your disguise.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
Paul bought me these for Christmas.
Yeah.
I actually was Googling you, which is a hilarious thing to do, because to introduce you, people either like totally know who you are, and they're the biggest fans of all time, or they're like, what is this person? And if you Google you, it's like, YouTuber, comedian, and entrepreneur. That's what it says about you.
That's and I'm like number 5, 6, and 7. Number one, I am the world's greatest bull rider.
That's right. That's right. I know that about you. And number 2 and 3 and 4?
Cowboy.
Yeah.
I would say aspiring model. I haven't had anybody respond to that. They all want me to take my sunnies off. Yeah.
No. Well, you know what's really funny, which is not funny, but I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to interview Dale on my podcast. And my girlfriends sent me a picture of Dale Brisby without his glasses on. And now I have blackmail on you forever, I think. But you're a very handsome man without those glasses. I mean, did date you once, so we need to talk about that.
Apparently.
No. But anyway, so you can't ever be mean to me because I have this picture.
Elephant in
the
room. There is one video way, way, way back where I was like upside down in a video. It's like a Spider-Man moment. But don't worry, I wasn't kissing another girl. And I was upside down. You could see my eyes. Anyway,
yeah. There's that out there?
It's out there.
You have to comb the internet for it?
It's deep track.
Yeah. I'm just so proud of you. My brother, he always brags. He's like, Dale's texting me again. You can get on Dale's text message list, and I think there's probably like 2 million people on there. But you're doing a great job, because my brother is like, Dale's texting me again. So I think I need to do the text message thing.
Yeah. Was it his birthday?
It was his birthday, and then today you're doing like a buy one, get one free moment or something.
Yeah, so some of them are mass texts, but if it's their birthday, it's me texting them. For real. My app, you sign up. It is a marketing app, but for texting. But yeah, every day, that's just part. I go in and I text people happy birthday. It tells me whose birthday it is.
Well, how do you sign up for that? You text 6969, I don't know.
940-353-0890. There it is. 940-353-0890.
Oh, that's a long one.
It's a normal size phone number.
Anyway.
Aren't they all 10 digits? In the U.S. at least.
Still's already sliding into my DMs. I don't need that
too many
phone
numbers
number.
To remember.
I love it. Do you know my cousin, Ross Griffin? Have I ever talked to you about this?
That is a deep track friend of mine. Wow.
Did you know that that's my cousin?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so his mom and I are first cousins. I mean, his dad and I are first cousins.
Okay.
Anyway, that is like my first cousin. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's in the industry.
Yeah,
he
was like Saddle Bronc Rookie of the Year-ish thing. I don't want to get this wrong.
Oh, that Ross Griffin. Oh, the rodeo cowboy. I know him too.
Oh, there's another
I
Ross
thought,
Griffin?
Yeah, I thought you meant the one that works sound at some... Anyways, yeah, I there's another was... one. There's a couple, so...
Wow.
But yeah, that
Super
Ross
sorry.
Griffin.
That
yeah.
Ross Griffin is my cousin.
Because I was thinking, I was like, man, he runs sound for, I can't remember who, but I was like, dang, I didn't realize he could ride saddle bronc
horses. What a boring like, podcast where I'm like,
kind of
you know
had
this?
A belly on him. I was picturing him riding broncs. I was like, oh, nope, she's talking about the other one, more athletic, taller,
right,
and handy with a horse. That makes way more sense.
What a terrible podcast. I'm like, do you know this sound guy that's my cousin? he's a saddle bronc rider. He's really good.
Hey, props to the sound guys. They're people, too.
No, we have one of the best ones over there, by the way. Brett Brock is
He's
amazing.
A little misinformed, though. Is he who texted me and said, what about, are you gonna bring your guitar? And they were like, who was texting me? Was that you over there?
Is it you, Brett?
Like, you ready? Oh, no. You're gonna play a show? I was like, man, I'm a fat kid at recess. I do not play. I'll get up there and tell some mediocre jokes, and that is it.
Just when you think you're super, super famous, then someone's like, hey, are you going to bring your guitar and play?
Hey, I got the look, though, because a lot of people just assume I'm a musician.
Yeah, I know. What are you doing here exactly? Because we love you. Like, we're all so thankful that you're here. But do you just like Texas music, or did you just, like, how to... Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if that's a compliment or a cut down. But, you know, and now it's not a cut down because I don't know how to answer it. No, I'm an MC. And then I post about music fest throughout the year. And so they need any help because they sell out. But, you know, the branding side of things, I think John gets it. And he's like, we need DB. And I said, yes, you do.
You're way cooler than all of us, was my point.
Well,
it was actually meant as a compliment.
That.
And we're honored that you're here. And you introduced me last year on the outdoor stage. And everyone said it was awesome and hilarious, but no one can tell me what you said. And then you got off stage and I was like, what did you just say about me? And you were like, I don't even remember what you said. It was something hilarious. But nobody has a video. Nobody has anything. And I just want to know what Del Brisby said about me. Dang. And there's no, like, video evidence of it.
I don't remember either, but I do remember thinking, like, walking off, like, feeling satisfied, like, that was funny. So, just remember me as being hilarious, everyone.
It might have been an ex-girlfriend moment up there, too.
Yeah. Sure. Definitely talked about that.
Well, I appreciate it. And we're so glad you're here. And, like, everybody is always like, oh, my gosh. And you bring so much spotlight to our genre, which is... really important for us, you know, and like you make us look really cool. So who is your favorite Texas country artist or show besides Brie Bagwell, obviously, but like, I want to know, like, who are your like people that you're like, these are my dudes or girls. And I love to hear them sing.
Well, that's one thing about Music Fest that has, you know, I love all these musicians. It's so crazy. You can just be walking down the hall of the Grand and bump shoulders with, you know, just Hayes Carl yesterday, you know, just so random. And that's what's neat about Music Fest and probably why it sells out. But in the early days, it was like if Co played 5 shows here, I introduced him at 5 shows. Like they associate me. So anything Co was doing, I was introducing him, and I got to hang out with him, and that was really cool. Same thing with Shane. I'm not real high on the MC seniority list, so like...
You got to introduce me? What are you saying?
Well, I can only put my foot down so many times, and I'm like, I gotta have Brie. And they're like, okay, but then you don't get to pick anything else. And so, you know, Co and Shane, eventually somebody else was like, no. I'm introducing them, and I was like, yes, that's okay. But anyway, I still get to go back there. They give me the wristband, which was a mistake, because I go back there, and I abuse it, and I'm just, like, hugging them all and acting like I'm supposed to be there. It's neat to get to see these guys backstage, you know, like, and really get to interact with Charlie Crockett. I think I annoy him very much. He's like, oh, here comes that long-haired guy. Because I love his music, you know. And I'm like, I got the... it's legal, Charlie. I'm allowed back here. You have to talk to me. And so there's so many people. I got... I'm aspiring podcast host myself.
It's a good podcast. I've heard it.
So I'm on the come up. It's... we are actually... We got picked up by YouTube when I made an account. And so that's where you can find my podcast. So we've got that in common. Anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, yesterday I got to do, were you going to,
no,
this is
no.
your podcast. I'm going to let you talk.
The more you talk, the more wine I get to drink. So you go right ahead.
Atta girl. Yesterday I got to put Doug Moreland on my podcast. And so, like, you know, guys like that, I only get to see up here and it's just so fun. So you should have Doug on.
I love Doug so much. So we did the Elvis tribute last night. Was that last night? Gosh, it feels like 3 days ago. But and someone walked into Timber and Torch in a full fat Elvis costume with like the hair and everything, like a blow up hair. And I was like,
that was Doug. No,
it was Doug Moreland for
awesome.
Sure. He is one of the most interesting people. I will say too that. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I don't know. Listen, my times are all running together, obviously, but it was my boyfriend's 40th birthday. And so we were going to do a surprise party for him and it kind of turned bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so Doug Moreland popped his head in. He's like, what's going on in here? And I was like, well, Paul's going to be here in like 10 minutes and we're going to surprise him. And he's like, okay, I'll be right back. Doug Moreland brings his whole band. Like, and there's like mariachis and there's like stand up bass and everyone's dressed all cute. And then Paul walks in and they're like, doo, 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 happy birthday. And I was like, this is, and Paul was so impressed with what I had planned. But like, Doug Moreland did all of that.
That's hilarious.
It was one of my favorite Steamboat memories.
I love the spontaneity.
It is the best. Do you have any more fun Steamboat stories you would like to tell? We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. If you want to keep that close to your heart. But
yeah, I mean, to be honest, most of my Steamboat stories are pretty lame compared to, like, for instance, Doug Moreland's Steamboat stories. Yeah, because I am a big skier. Actually, I'm like a normal size skier, 5'10"-ish, 11, depending on the shoes. But so I love, yeah, jokes on John. I would have done this for less money because I would have, you know, a free ski trip.
You're getting paid? I'm just kidding. I'm getting paid too. No,
but I just like to say that line a lot. but yeah, so yeah, I get up here. So I'm usually in bed. Yeah, I do. Unless I'm introducing late at Timber and Torch. But yeah, other than that, the years all run together. I think I've been here 7 years, which you've probably been here longer than that.
This is my 13th year.
That's awesome.
I started coming here when I was 8. It was like so crazy. They had me. I was so young. Just a toddler playing music. Go. It was so awesome. I love it so much. And I watched your podcast with Jared Morris because he's awesome. And I just did his podcast too. And the things that you said about kind of the haters that you've had, it's so funny because from the outside, you don't ever see that happened. Like anytime I see you, I'm like, he's hilarious. He's awesome. Everyone loves him. He's great. And then to hear you talk about it, it happens to all of us. And it's so frustrating because I don't want to let it affect me, but the things that people say about me that are negative really do hurt a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And like to hear the way that you talked about the things that people have said about you. And I don't know, I thought it was so brilliant. So if you could say that word for word, exactly how you said it on the last podcast, no, I'm just kidding. But if you could elaborate that, because we all go through it and it's part of it, but it doesn't mean that it's easy and it doesn't mean that, you know, you don't think about it.
Well, one of the things that I say that probably gets people riled up the most is, you ain't no cowboy. And, some people just don't really get the joke, you know, which is fine. You know, I take a chance. Anybody that tells a joke takes a chance. But, when I first made that video, I was walking around my pickup, and I'm sure you guys haven't seen it, but it's me walking around my ranch truck, and essentially I was just giving a tour of the ranch pickup. I think I maybe told Jared this story, but my cameraman turns on the camera, and I'm giving a tour, and I said, if you don't have pig and strings on your headache rack, you ain't no cowboy. And immediately I was like, that's what this video is now. And he kept rolling, and in my head, I just went around the pickup, and it turned into, if you don't have gloves, work gloves, you ain't no cowboy. And later in the video, if you wear work gloves, you ain't no cowboy, you know? Yeah. And, you know, obviously, like, ha-ha.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellenbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
But it inspired some t-shirts and inspired some jokes that I would, you know, tell for years. And, you know, I love to beat a dead horse. Really good at that. And, well, anyways, now it's inspired just a slew of 13-year-old steer riders that come up to my booth and tell me that I ain't no cowboy. And being the kind of guy that would never actually tell someone that, it really hurts my feelings when they tell me that. But no, and then online, you know, people are just completely different people when they're on a keyboard. And yeah, it you know, like you get some thick skin and then you just find places where it's just not so thick. Like, oh, that wouldn't really hurt.
Yeah.
But I think the only way to not have anybody comment is to just not do anything at all. Like, for instance, here, I just released a podcast this morning with J.B. Mooney. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, J.B. Mooney. And he even likes to joke about how much we use the bleep button when he's around, you know, because we're kind of a kid show. And if one sneaks in every now and then, we hear about it from parents. Well, then on the other side, like, there's just these all these people that are like, I ain't listening to this if you're going to silence those words. And I'm just like, dang, you can't please everybody. Like, I'm bleeping out cuss words, and that's what you're mad about me for. So you really can't please everybody. And so I just kind of stopped trying to. Mm-hmm. But it does still sting every now and then.
Yeah, my favorite one that I got was on YouTube. It said, she sounds like a dying calf. That is so specific. And I was like, you know what? When I'm thinking, what could I ask Dale Brisby today that I'm like, what does a dying calf sound like? What if you're like, it sounds like the Celine Dion? It sounds like really amazing. Like, I've never heard a dying calf. What if it's the best singer I've ever heard? And that was actually a compliment, and I just didn't know. But
some people think it's like a sport to come up with what kind of comments they can be hateful with. You know, I mean, we've all seen the videos where it's like somebody dancing and then it's a screen record and the video pops up and it's actually comments about that person dancing. And like, it's just a sport for people to comment, you know, something super hateful. And, some of us don't take it as well as others. But no, people pay you a lot of money to sing, you know, and it's crazy that like this person just paid you a lot of money to sing. And then the very next day you see that comment and it's like, that hurts way more than that check felt good sometimes. Like, dang, why does that do that to me?
Right. And it absolutely shouldn't. And I have a team now that hopefully deletes comments before I see them because I don't want to know because I will dwell on it. And it's the last one I was dwelling so hard. Someone was like, you need to get your own style. I was like, this person, it's so interesting what people have to say. But the one that someone had told you or had told your lawyer maybe that you're a flash in the pan.
Oh yeah. That was like, a friend of mine too.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But also like, that's something you don't have to like, if someone's like, you're a bad singer, I can't really be like, no, I'm good. Listen to me. La. Like, but you're like, am I a flash in the pan now with all my freaking money and followers? Like you have an actual proof to your haters.
No, I appreciate that very much. Yeah.
You've created a great thing.
Who would you have even be? I can't think of anybody you'd be copying. Like, you know, you need to get your own style. Like, you're pretty...
Well, I'm copying you right now. Like, well, yeah. I really am doing a good job.
But, and to that point, that's the only thing I used to... I don't know. I don't really delete people's comments if they talk bad about me. But now that I'm doing a lot of podcasts, if they say something bad about a guest, I'll usually block them pretty quick. Just because it's so hard to get guests, you know, as I'm sure you know. And, I just hate it when people... Like, because especially somebody that... I have a lot of cowboys on my podcast that maybe don't even have social media, never been on camera. They tell their story. If somebody has something negative to say and, you know, they're like, oh, that'll really hurt. They didn't ask for that. You know, sometimes if you have a fellow creator on, you know, like if someone has something bad to say about me, like I get it. You know, I'm not going to be mad that I went on your podcast, but anyhow, we're getting real deep about haters.
I know. And honestly, they don't matter. And I'm like, here we are giving them a time and attention. We're going to move on. We're going to take a left turn. We're going to talk about your Netflix special because it's so fun. Paul and I watched it and it's so fun because it's like cowboys in a digital age where, you know, you're riding a horse and then you zoom in and y'all are on your phones. Like, and I love that because you're still actually fixing fence and you're still doing super cowboy stuff in like modern times and you did a great job and the team did a great job. Did they approach you or did you approach
them?
So
the production company approached me and they were like, we want to make a sizzle to potentially make a show. And so I was like, okay. And so they made it off of my YouTube, the sizzle. It didn't even have, I sat down for like 3 minutes and just said some things, and then they chopped it up. Anyhow, put it in front of a bunch of different, like A&E was the right before we accepted Netflix. It was like A&E, not TNT, but one of those three letter, you know, shows, something, I don't know. And then like Funny or Die, we were talking to them, and Facebook. And then when Netflix came along, we were like, yeah, let's go with Netflix. So that's how that works, I guess. You have a production company that is kind of the middleman, and they make all the money, and you know. Yeah.
But they did a good job of, like, I think it was very true to you. It didn't feel like cheesy or, and I mean, yeah. It felt.
Well, there's moments that are, you know, kind of corny in a Dale Brisby kind of way, you right. know. And there's some things in there that to really string the story along and let the audience know like what's going on. You know, we tell some stories of like, this is how it happens. But as far as like the action goes, just 100, I mean, you can't fake some of those buck offs.
Right.
And some of those things that happen, and the explosion, I did not plan that. That was an accident.
Oh no, it was giant. What yeah. do you mean you didn't plan that?
Well, I didn't know it was going to do that. If you watch, like, it goes out of the screen. I mean, like, these are Netflix cameras. If they'd have known it would have been that big, they'd have backed up, you know? Like, they'd have got the whole explosion.
Who put the fake bomb in there? Like, my immediate thought was, like, what happened there?
It was like a dozen 911 calls in 60 seconds from the town.
Yeah, that's episode 2. You got to check that out. It is yeah. really bad. That's
dang, it is. Yeah, you're not... You actually watched it. That's
I
awesome.
Did my homework very recently. Yeah. But no. I've been a fan of you for a long time, but I was happy to get to watch that. It was such a great job. And of course, not to be like girl power, but girl power, yeah. you featuring a female bull rider, like
yeah,
great Jordan. Job.
She's amazing. She is a female bull rider. And you know, sometimes whenever you picture that, you know, you picture kind of, she's just not what you would picture when you hear that. She's very sweet and ladylike, but she's very passionate about bull riding, and she treats it like a professional. In her words, the reason I frame it like that is, in her words, there's a lot of girls that might ride bulls, for instance, just to prove that a girl can. While yes, that may be true, if those are your intentions, bull riding's not maybe the thing you need to do to prove that, you know, because it's very dangerous. And while proving a point, you could get very badly hurt. And she is actually passionate about it. And it comes out in her work ethic. And yeah, she's been riding bulls for years. And we got a few bulls that it's crazy that, yeah, you wouldn't expect a little blonde-haired, 115-pound girl to just put on some spurs, but she does it.
Well, I think it's important.
She still works for me, by the way.
Does yeah. she? That's yeah. amazing. Well, I think, you know, what I do is kind of like Todd Purefoy was backstage, and he was like, I can tell you put a lot of effort into creating this show, and I appreciate it. And I was like, well, I'm a woman, and I feel like I have to really do a good job at showing that I actually care about the craft. I'm not like, I'm going to do it because no one else is going to do it. It's like, no, I have to think about it all the time. And I'm not, that sounded very tooting my own horny.
No. Tooting, well.
Kyle, edit that out. That was the worst sentence I've ever said in my life. I'm going to pass out. I'm just saying. No, that's.
We're going to clip that. No. That'll be on TikTok in about 6 hours. It's Mike's girlfriend, people.
Those are
blushing.
Two words I never say, and I said them in the same sentence. I'm going to cry.
She's blushing.
I'm absolutely blushing. But I love what you do, and I was thinking about it because if you ever watch one of my music videos, anytime I'm on a horse, I'm like in slow motion because I don't know exactly what I'm doing. Yeah. And, you know, if you slow it down, you can't really tell. But you really, I mean, I think the documentary, or I'm calling it a documentary.
Yeah,
that's not,
I mean,
what it is.
Unscripted is technically where it's.
Okay.
But yeah, they kicked around that word before. Anyhow.
But you can really tell that you are an expert at that. Like, you are this person that can do all these things, and you're hilarious, and you've created this amazing brand. But I think the reason that it resonates so well is because you're an authentic person that actually knows what you're doing, and they shined a light on that, which I was really happy that they did that.
Oh, so, cool. Well, thank you.
If you want to talk about, yeah, you can clap. I don't know. I thought that was it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about any of your rodeo, your rodeo history and how you became the greatest bull rider in the galaxy.
I invented riding bulls with one hand. A lot of people don't know that. They were riding with two hands before. But I'm super passionate. I just grew up, you know, a rodeo dad and ranching dad. When I was born, we lived on the Pitchfork Ranch, which is next to the 4-6s. 4-6s gets a lot of, you know, publicity, but there's a lot of them right around there. And anyhow, my dad, we later moved and managed another ranch and little bitty place. But that's where I learned to just sit on a horse and try not to fall off. But anyway, like I just knew I was bound for doing something with animals in either rodeo or the cowboy world. And so now all my content revolves around it. And as my business started to grow with the apparel, my lawyer, who was my college roommate, he was like, you got to go back to College Station or move to Fort Worth or Stephenville or something to run a business. And I was like, well, I'll just take less money and not have a good business then, you know, because I can't trade this lifestyle, you know. And so anyhow, the intern program that I have offers young people an opportunity, because I need people to come work because I live out in the middle of nowhere, which was the problem my lawyer was trying to help me solve. But so Donnie, for instance, who's in the show, bartender out of Missouri, who may not have an opportunity to ride Bronx, he'll come and intern for me, help me with my business side of things because I need employees. And then in return, I'm helping him learn how to ride Bronx. And so he's made two AMI finals now, and one day he'll make the NFR. And he's one of probably 35 individuals that have come through. He's been here the longest, almost 6 years. He's seen them come and go. But anyway, the authenticity thing, I think you have, you know, like there's just, as far as like being scared that you're trying to prove a point, like you can't be there. You can't try to prove a point and then with rodeo, for instance, and wind up at the NFR. You know, you can't just be trying to prove a point in the music industry and be doing this for 15 years like you have, you know? So, yeah, I definitely am not scared of that for Bree Bagwell or your show here. Oh, no, I think you're. Or Jordan, for that matter.
Did you hear that, everybody? Interns was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about because I'm trying to find one, and you talk about it on the show, and then he always has on his social media, like, oh, this is our new intern, this, and new, and I'm like, you're getting applications for interns. I think, you know, when you get the second or third wave that doesn't make it, you can just forward those to my email.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they can come. You're like, you might not want to be a bull rider, but you might want to be a guitar tech. And there then you can like send them over to me.
Oh, I guarantee you there's people out there. And the name of the show came from, we called it How to Be a Cowboy on Netflix. And I was talking to the producers and they were like, well, what are we going to make a show about? And I said, well, I get about 20 or 30 DMs a day of how do I get started riding bulls? How do I get started ranching? And so let's just tell the world how to do that, essentially, was the premise. And so that's what these interns, and one thing led to another. A kid reached out. He actually needed college credit for an internship. And 40 interns later, he's the only one that has done it for that reason. Now the rest of them just want to learn to ride bulls. But, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that want to.
One would think, Del Brisby, one would think, but I'm still working on, if you want to be an intern, email Kyle, what's your email? I'm just kidding. But we're always trying to expand, and I loved how you did that, because you made it a thing where you can come learn to do this if you be my intern. That's so smart. You're such a smart human being, and you're so funny, and that's, I always see you, too, in the hallways. It's so hard, I can't even walk, you know, 20 feet without stopping, whatever, but Del Brisby cannot walk 5 feet without stopping. Like, yeah. You cannot get, if you have to pee, you have to plan 4 hours in advance because you will never make it to the bath. I mean, you get stopped and you're so gracious. I don't think I've ever seen you be rude to a fan you are getting it. I think you're getting it more than artists get it. Like
I appreciate that.
How do you deal with that? You just are on some sort of drugs we don't know about?
Caffeine, a lot of caffeine. I am addicted to caffeine. One of my good friends now is Cowboy Cerrone. He's a UFC fighter. And if you follow fighting, he's pretty good. And anyway, we've rolled together, and it's just crazy how easily it is for him to beat me up. But we became friends from a mutual sponsor, and somebody, I was standing next to him, and somebody was asked him that same question, and he just said, well, one day they won't want a picture. And it was just like, it was this moment. And because he's so down, and if you do, if you're anything in the fighting world and he goes somewhere, like, I hope you don't need to be anywhere for 45 minutes because there's now a line, a mob around him, and he'll just take it, you know. And he's been fighting for 20 plus years, and it just doesn't get old for him, because he, in his words, like, one day they won't want it. And so anyhow, it made me kind of take a new approach at, not that I've never been, you know, I don't like kick little kids away or nothing like that, but it was another layer of conviction, I guess.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I think about that a lot, actually too much as an artist, that you never know when your peak is, right? And then sometimes I'll, late at night, if I've had some whiskey, and I'll tell Paul, like, what I have to look forward to is what somebody said about so-and-so. It's like, so-and-so looks old and they look awful and they sound terrible. And it's like your curve as an artist, it's, you never know where the top is. And then on the way down, it's like, everyone's like, ooh, they're kind of wrong. And that's a little bit depressing for me. So I love that idea of like, hey, we're doing it right now, and let's enjoy it and savor the moment. Cause
I think if you're doing it for the right reason, then it just doesn't matter. Because if you're, which, I mean, you obviously are passionate about
money. You know, no.
About music, you know, you can't, this life is way too hard just to do for money. Like, I know enough about what you musicians go through that it's gotta be more than money. But, and I'm sure there's points where someone could lose focus and, you know, prioritize money over it. But regardless, my point is, you know, if you're doing it for you and then one day you decide you don't want to, well, then it's fine. But I think whenever you are now doing this to be the number one, to beat someone, and, you know, your pride comes in and you've got to reach this certain level that's higher than somebody else in the industry. And, you know, that's what all of us have a danger of doing. I think that's when it can really eat at you at night. But if you don't care what other people think, you're doing this because you love it, and then one day you decide to shift your focus to family or a different thing, well, who cares? Who cares where your peak was, I guess, you know? But
this is why you wear the sunglasses, in case you cry. Are you crying all the time behind those sunglasses? Maybe that's what, you, yeah, just yeah. Well,
behind these shades is your mom's next heartbreak. So I'm doing you all a favor.
Well, I mean, speaking on that same thing, one thing that you said was like rodeo and music, the parallel of you'll do anything to do it. It's mm-hmm. like, it's the same. I mean, that's why we are maybe kind of kindred spirits, is because I will do anything to be able to pursue my dream. And that's a lot of what rodeo is too. And, mm-hmm. and as soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, totally. You know, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities with musicians and rodeo cowboys, you know, because when you go somewhere to play, it's whatever town you're in. It's their party for the weekend. Same thing with the rodeo. It's that town's party. And you're treated as a celebrity, and rodeo cowboys are too. And so it's that part that just creates the atmosphere that you now get to go do the thing you love in. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so fun, you know. And I've never been one to love rodeo for the after party or the beer tent or none of that. I loved, you know, between the first bull, you know, between the first bear and the last bull, and being behind the chutes, that's what I love the most about it. But just something about chasing a dream. And then for us, we have the added, you know, danger factor that just makes it, you know, as a man, like that wild heart thought process of a fight to fight. But our insurance is a little more expensive than y'all's.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I assume it is. I don't know. Maybe musicians' insurance, health insurance, is a little high.
Well,
too.
I think self-employed insurance is like.
Yeah.
But I will say this: it's very interesting. We had Brendan Anthony from the Texas Music Office and now Big Loud Texas yesterday. The city of Austin pays for musicians' health insurance, and it's incredible. And I lived in Austin for a long time. Almost kind of, because I was like, well, my rent's high, but I get $600 of dental every year and I'm going to stay here until I die. But I think, you know, things like that people don't think about, like health insurance. I've never once thought about, I wonder what a bull rider's health insurance costs.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And maybe that's like...
It's very expensive.
Oh.
You if you're honest.
You should just not disclose your...
Yeah, if you're... I was going to say, if you're honest, it's expensive. Yeah.
They come over, they're like doing your health test, you know, and they're
I think they actually
broken ribs and...
prioritized bareback riding as more dangerous than bull riding.
What? Why?
It. Yeah. Because they're educated and they know that it actually is way more dangerous. Yeah.
I didn't know that across the board.
I don't know. Like, it's just, it's terrifying. I'd rather get on a thousand bulls than I rode bareback horses for a little bit. And I just appreciated the guys that are good at it and the level of, if you guys ever have to fight someone who rodeos, make sure they're not a bareback rider. That's all I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say about that. Like those, they have to go to a different level of insanity to perform at a high, anyway. Yeah.
I love to know that. Cause it's kind of like, you know, knowing how insane the steel guitar is or something. Like I didn't know that.
That's... And then there's some of them that just like in the shoot, most of them, they go to a place where their own mother wouldn't recognize them. But then some of them don't, some of them are just like super calm and like laughing. And those are the real psychopaths. I think like, I don't know how they do it.
They have three dead bodies in their horse trough. Yeah.
I was Bill Tudor. He went to the NFR a few times, and I was at a rodeo, and he's like getting down on his bareback rigging, and they're like, "Hold on, Bill. The flag girls are still in the arena." And he's like, "I mean, he's right before he's about to nod. This is where you hold your rigging, by the way. I'm imitating." And he's right here, and I'm about to slap his horse out, and he looks over, and this guy's standing there, and he's like, "Oh, did you do that buck stitch on that belt you're wearing?" 1,000% this way. And he was like, "Yeah, I did." He's like, "That's buck stitching is hard." And they were like, "Okay, Bill." And he goes, "Oh, okay, go ahead." You know, and he's like 84 points. And that's a real psychopath. So
I was like, right before I was, the first time I ever got to go visit the Opry, I was 18 and I was backstage and I walked in and I walked into this green room and it was Vince Gill and he was eating a Snickers and drinking a Coke. And he was like, "Breakfast of Champions" or whatever. And he's like, "Okay, bye." And then he just went out and played the Opry. And I was like, what world am I living in where Vince Gill is just like eating a Snickers and he's just like, cool as a cucumber.
Now imagine him doing that if an animal is trying to kill him. That's Bill Tudor. That's what I'm saying.
You know what's insane is I think we lived in College Station at the same time.
I know we did.
Wow. And we...
Yeah. I knew who you were. I don't think you knew who I was.
I think you're right. But yeah. I went like this and you went like this. But we're meeting somewhere over here. But I'm glad we weren't friends because we might have been firing gasoline at that time. But
no, I don't think so.
We have a lot of mutual friends. And I lived in College Station for a while. And... I was at the tap and I was getting hit on by a guy and he had X's on his hands and I looked over and I was like, "I'm going to move." Like at that point I was probably like 26.
That person was not me, by the way. That's not what she's trying to say.
And I was like, "This guy has glasses on. I got to get out of here. He's got X's on his hands." But it was an interesting place to live. I really liked living there. I think I was on the road so much that we like never got to cross paths, but we have a bunch of mutual friends in common and it's kind of weird that
I too was on the road. I was what's called a 2%er. I left the game early. They have them on Saturdays. I need to get to the rodeo. I'm not staying all four quarters for this football game. And I did get booed. Like it's a cult down there. And I went to school there, but I was not necessarily part of the cult because I didn't join a frat. I was rodeoing. That's what I was there for.
Yeah, and you talked about Chili Fest, and I was like, Chili Fest has changed so much from when we were there. Like, do you remember? I remember the first time I went, and I'd heard about Chili Fest, and I was like, I gotta go. And I went, and I was like, the porta potties were overflowing so much that there was a river of sewage running through, and everyone's like, "Yeah!" And they're like walking through it, and I'm like, that is a disease that's going to happen to your foot and maybe your whole body. But like now but do you remember how it was the Wild West back then? Like,
so that arena next to it is owned by Kermit Moss, and he's a team roper, went to the NFR in like 95, won the average, great guy. I worked for him. We'd get on bulls at that arena y'all walk by.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would give me, like, I could have parked in the arena. Like, I could go there, but that was not my scene. I just never went. I loved the music, meaning, like, I did not go to Chili Fest. Again, on a weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to the rodeo.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm going to go to bed at 9 if there's not a rodeo, so...
You are a spirit animal. I knew we'd get along just fine. We're already running out of time, but I was asking my family what they, if they had questions for you, because they're all fans. And then I immediately regretted it, because my dad was like, I think you should come out with a line of frisbees called Brisbee's Fizbee.
Frisbees.
I was like, never mind. Okay. Always, like, never mind, family. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
He would have been a good father-in-law.
But I do want to know what is next for Dale, because you're always doing something. You're always thinking, and we're always excited to see what's next. And you don't have to say anything.
I mean, I love what I get to do, and you know, which is make, you know, videos, and my vlog, which is called Rodeo Time, got like 400 episodes, and every week, usually on Tuesdays, we release one of those, and it's us doing, you know, rodeo or ranching things, and then two podcasts a week, Mondays and Thursdays. And if I could do that for the next 52 weeks of this year, then I'm happy as a, what do they say, a gopher in fresh dirt. So that would be, but I would like to, I think it'd be fun to have a cartoon, like a kid's cartoon. With like me and the animals, like Boone, my horse, you know, like that would be fun.
Oh, wait, does your brother play guitar and make jewelry? Like,
oh, yeah,
I love
Leroy.
Him.
Yeah, like, he's so talented. He got all the talent, and I started a YouTube channel. That's how that works.
He's like playing guitar, and he's like, yeah, I designed jewelry. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, yeah. What? That's awesome.
He had really good jewelry, too. He did leather work for like 15 years, and then he was like, oh, I could do this on silver and charge five times as much. And so that's what he did. And then he also, not five times, I don't know the ratio, I'm not good at math, but he has one song, it's called If I Don't Call, and they played at rodeos, and it's like super special. If I'm at a rodeo and I hear it, it's like, it's about our dad, and him and John Stork wrote it together.
Oh, I love John Stork.
Yeah, John's good people. And, anyway, that was, that's, I love hearing that. The ranch played it for a while. Yeah. If I Don't Call, y'all look it up.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love that. I was thinking a Rodeo Time dating app would be great, because I have a lot of single friends and they're just having really trouble with these apps. I don't know what that's like
anymore.
And
it can be segregated by events. So if they want to date, they need somebody to protect them. They're going to date a bareback rider. If they
or
need
murder
someone,
them, or murder them and use their skin as their own
face.
If
they need someone with a bank account, they'll date a calf roper, obviously. Or if it's a guy and they want someone super crazy, maybe a barrel racer. Actually, the goat tires. Look out for those. Whew, they're really crazy.
Or just the horse butt slappers. Like, maybe those guys, like you did that. Like, maybe those guys
butt
don't
slappers?
Get enough credit.
I'm not familiar with that one. Is this another one of those moments where you say the wrong thing? Butt slappers?
I have built an entire podcast on saying the wrong things. Like, I don't even know why anyone pays me to do this. But no, I thought when they leave the chute, like, there's guys always like.
Well, we push their heads out, and we call it slapping a horse out, so it doesn't turn out backwards.
Oh, it's their head
and
not their butt.
But it's really just a push. It's not a slap.
I'm so good at rodeo, Del Brisby. You should ask me some more rodeo questions.
Figured you'd have remembered better.
Jesus Christ, I love it so much. Okay, we're going to take one audience question. That's all we have time for. But I also love, can we say, Del Brisby said, 90% of it's mental and the rest is in your head.
Yeah, that's bull riding.
That's
90%
music.
90% is mental and the rest is in your head. Yeah. Some of you will laugh later.
Oh, I don't think it's funny. I think it's brilliant.
And also, the hair is real and it's mine. I have the receipt to prove it, so...
Get in here. Let me pull that hair.
Yeah. Oh, you really want to? Oh, okay.
It's real.
Figured you'd remember.
So is mine. Okay. One audience question, then we're going to get out of here. But make it G-rated. I also can't see a
darn
thing.
Yeah, we got sunglasses
thing.
On.
If you...
Because I'm a douchebag. Inside.
Take your glasses off, douchebag. Yeah.
Yeah. No questions.
Not any brave
everybody,
souls.
Everybody has their
okay,
one.
Okay, we got one.
When did you live in College Station?
I was there for like 6 years, from what was that? 06 on, somewhere in there?
Mm-hmm.
I stuck around. I was there for longer than that. I was there for like 11 years.
I was there from 2010 to 12 and a half-ish.
I was there from 06 to 15. I forgot about that. The school part.
Congratulations to us for not dying while we were there, because it was.
Yeah, you remember the Hall of Fame? Were you there then, or was it already gone? It was already gone.
I was there.
Oh, you were.
I was there at the very tail end of the Hall of Fame.
Texas Hall of Fame. That was like Music Fest in a building in College Station.
It was awesome, but there was like no Uber back then. Like we were really...
Harry's is gone now too. Yeah. That's probably good though. When? Did they tear the tap down? Or did anybody find out who burned it down? It wasn't me. Hate that place.
Can I get like a giant round of applause for this lovely, very successful human being joining me on my podcast? Rodeo Time Apparel, Dale Brisby, all the channels, please check them out. And I'm upset you didn't bring me any Rodeo Time Apparel, but I'll forgive you.
That's my bad. I would give you this shirt, but that would be inappropriate.
Says who? Okay. Bye, guys.